Some snacks are forgettable. Puckered pickles are not. Bold crunch. Big flavor. Totally addictive. Perfect for burgers, sandwiches, tailgates, Chicago dogs, or straight out of the jar. Puckered pickles. Are you ready to pucker up?
Does it get any better than Chicago food? From longtime favorites to newly opened locations, Italian beef joints to pizza places, burritos to sushi, Chicago's very own Eats celebrates a wide range of food and restaurants in the greater Chicagoland area. Hosts Kevin Powell and Michael Piff welcome you into their daily food talk in the WGN Radio Break Room as they discuss their latest foodie adventures, their top five lists, the latest social media arguments, interviews with chefs, and conversations with local celebs about their favorite places to eat. This is Chicago's very own Eats.
Welcome into a fresh episode of Chicago's very own Eats. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Mike Piff. Podcast sponsored by
the Puckered Pickle Company.
Puckered Pickle Company. Joining us once again live in studio is Jonathan Porter from Chicago Pizza Tours. You brought us pizza. You're a good man, Jonathan. It's great to have you back in studio. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me back. And I always come bringing pizza.
Yes, we love it. We have a lot to get to. You've had some celebrity encounters. The business is booming. But let's just get into the business. If people are not familiar with Chicago Pizza Tours, it's exactly what it sounds like. Jonathan takes you on a pizza tour around Chicago, the greatest pizza city in the world, in my opinion. So just give everybody the rundown on what they can expect, how this started, your background, Jonathan.
I love it. Thank you. And that is, I love how you put it. It's a Chicago pizza tour. It's what we do. So we see the eyes, or we see Chicago through the eyes of pizza. We operate two main tours, a bus tour and a walking tour. During the week, it's mostly our walking tour. Our downtown pizza walk starts off at a place called Roberts, just down the street. Brought some of those pizzas in.
Nice.
And, you know, we basically talk about, you know, the history, talk about the owners, the types of ingredients, the techniques, the ovens, anything that could have to do with why that pizza turns out the way it does. And then we eat the pizza, we move on, and it's always, I always tell people jokingly, if you don't like a slice, that's great, don't worry, because they're all going to be different. So as we go throughout the day, we then end up with an artisan slice at Roberts, deep dish slice at La Briola next. After that, we're doing a wood-fired Neapolitan in Italy, and then we're finishing at Zarella, Caleb Williams' favorite pizza. We're going to finish there with some tavern-style pizza.
I'm glad you go to Italy, because when my wife and I lived downtown, we would go to Italy and sit at one of those little bars they have on the second floor, and we would just get a pizza. It's like you're back in Italy. It's amazing. Their pizza is so good there, and I think people... Italy can be like, what exactly are you going to expect? It's a store, but it's a restaurant, and there are also like little bars in the middle on the second floor. I highly recommend, if you're looking for a different sort of pizza, it is so good there.
Yeah, I mean, and you described it perfectly. That's what we do. We sit at the bar, the pizza bar there, and watch them make the pizza. But I jokingly tell people, like, if you've never been to Italy before, it's kind of like a Crate and Barrel crash into a bunch of Italian restaurants.
Italy is awesome. I mean, you could spend a lot of time and a lot of money in there with the butcher in there and all kinds of stuff. You mentioned Roberts, too. Mike and I have talked about Roberts plenty. Great spots here in, I guess that would be River North, Streeterville, right?
Streeterville, technically, yeah.
And they're right on the water, great patio. We have so many different options now in Chicago, where for most of us it was like deep dish or just your Chicago tavern. Now it's like so many different styles, which is a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, ever since like 2000, 2001, the pizza scene in Chicago has exploded with outside styles. And I really do credit that to Bill Jacobs from Peace. When he opened up Peace in July, they just had their 25th year anniversary just a little bit ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. But when he opened up in July of 2001, that was really the first time a thin crust pizza with a completely different style than we're used to, that circular square cut pizza.
New Haven style.
Style came. And I remember I was living in Bucktown at the time, and I remember that we ordered like on a football Sunday or something like that. And the first question they had is like, do you want a red, a white, or a plain? And I'm like, I don't know.
All of the above.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember going in there for the first time and seeing, actually it was like my dad's best friend just happened to be there, and he goes, get the mashed potatoes on the pizza. I'm
crazy,
like, mashed potatoes on a pizza? And I'm like, he's like, yeah, it's really good, especially with the beer. And now I recommend that to everybody I talk to.
And you've been on Jonathan's pizza tour, correct?
I have.
Tell us about your experience, Mike.
Yeah, last summer, I actually recommended it to my dad and brother. I was like, let's do something fun. They wanted to take a trip somewhere. I was like, no, let's do something you know, in Chicago, we don't get to do that often. And I had followed Jonathan for a while, and I'm like, that would be a really cool way to experience the city. So we did the it's kind of the original Chicago tour.
Right.
Started at Paisano's, and I think we were one of a couple like locals, which I recommend this to any local, just something to do in town. But there were people from all over that came in from across the country, and you go in, you go to the basement area of Paisano's, and Jonathan happened to be there. We were catching up a little bit, but he was like asking everyone where they're from, and he had recommendations for each of these people in their hometowns. Not just like, I'm from Ohio. No, I'm from Youngstown, and here's here's something I recommend for you in Youngstown, which is so cool. But like the guy that was doing the tour, I forget his name off the top of my head, but he was a Second City actor that also was really into Chicago history. So not only are you getting a comedy show, but you're getting history in between spots. History of the pizza, but everything else. So you're getting the full Chicago experience when you do that tour.
Yeah, it's amazing. So yeah, go ahead, Jonathan.
No, I was saying that's a great endorsement. I love the way you just described that to me. That's what we're going for. So you
started this in 2009.
Right. So, I mean, I think officially the very first tour went off in 2010. But in 2009, I had been working in a promotional products job. So anything that gets a logo on it, pens, hats, all of that stuff. And I loved my job and my career, and I worked alongside my dad. And when the housing market crashed in 2008, I still had some good clients that were still ordering for me. But by 2009, right around the time that my son was born, it was apparent that all of my clients had left, and there was a tough time to call on those things. Mm. So I basically turned to my wife and said, you know what? I think I'm going to do it. I'm just going to kind of jump all in on the Chicago Pizza Tour. I had already bought the website and was thinking about it. And so I spent that summer teaching tennis for the Park District here in Chicago to kids during the day, adults in the evening, just to bring in a little bit of money while I worked on the business plan. And then next thing you know, by the time I got incorporated, insurance all set, website built using a Yahoo template, I cringe just thinking about that original website. But yeah, we were officially running in 2010.
And that's amazing.
It's been 16 and a half years at this point.
And business, I'm sure, is great, right? Everybody's a foodie these days. Everybody wants to try the best pizza and the newest thing and see the old school spots.
So these last few years, it's just been like, we're watching it sort of like, business was going amazing before the COVID pandemic, and then the whole world got a chance to sort of reset, and then we're slowly building it up, and then it's like a switch gets turned on, you know, maybe in 2023 or so. So the last 3 years, we've been really trying to keep up with as many customers that want to go see pizzerias, and that's great.
And it's so, yeah, I'm sorry, Mike, but if you haven't done the tour, I think we talked about this last time. Are you just going to each spot and eating as much pizza as you can? Like, how does the whole thing work?
We have to sort of control that a little bit.
You can't stuff yourself on the first spot.
Because, I mean, it's really good pizza at every spot that you go to. So people tend to want to eat a little bit extra, especially in the beginning. So we sort of played out what we consider a serving, which at Paisano's, it's a pretty big serving. It's a slice of deep dish that is slightly smaller than what a traditional size would be there. Like, we'll take a large pizza that normally gets cut into 8, and we'll cut it into 10. That extra 2 slices per pizza does really save them a little bit. And then we do some tavern squares alongside that as well. So they get a good base in them. And then it's like every place we go to from there, like Flo and Sano's.
Like
you got 3 squares. So it's like it fills up your plate, but like you're not totally stuffed yet. But one of my favorite things, by the time they're done eating their slice from Coal Fire in Westtown, and then the biggest slice of the day, Bartoli's, that big deep dish, on the bus ride back, especially if it's summer or something like that, you just see the heads bobbing as they're falling asleep in the bus as I'm droning on about the history of deep dish or something like that.
I remember it described to us, it was when we got on the bus, the tour guide goes, you're going to be giving me Disney eyes. Well, and what I mean by that is you are going to love me in the very beginning because you're having pizza, but by the end of it, you're going to look at me like I just shot Bambi's mom. And honestly, I'd agree, but I'm also, I would say, and Kevin is too, a veteran of eating Chicago area pizza. Right. But I do recall going to Flo and Santos, and that's where I think they included some sides of jardinera. And people from outside Chicago have no idea what jardinera is. So one, there was a lesson on jardinera. Two, I think there were a bunch of orders for Giardiniera after that because people wanted it delivered to their place.
He's totally right. And in fact, Giardiniera gets sort of like a side 15 minutes on the tour.
That's great.
When we go in there, because much like you, I grew up here in the Chicagoland area, and I just assumed, Giardiniera was prevalent in Potbellies and Subway and anywhere you went. I just assumed the whole world had Giardiniera.
Right.
And it wasn't until I went away to college.
Everybody has a moment you're like, oh, this is a Chicago thing? I can't just get this anywhere in America?
Right. I'm down at Eastern Illinois, and I'm like, where's the Giardiniera around here? And they're like, oh, they don't have that stuff here.
Yeah. It's amazing, man. Congrats on the success. And recently, we mentioned the celebrity encounter you had. Mike mentioned this to me, and then I'm scrolling Instagram one day, and there I see you popping up with Gordon Ramsay from Kitchen Nightmares. Did he yell at you at all?
Chef Ramsay couldn't have been nicer to me.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, he was amazing.
So tell us what happened there. You ran into Gordon Ramsay. There were a lot of local spots. What's the story there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a long one, so I'll try to condense it a little bit. But basically, I would finish the tour. I was on Michigan Avenue in between tours, and a producer called me up and was telling me about they're filming a major TV show in Chicago. It's centered around pizza. Would I like to be a part of it? And I was like, absolutely. I could barely hear the guy, but I'm like, absolutely. So this kind of went on for a couple of weeks, little 5-minute conversations here, maybe an email here or there. And then finally it was like, okay, you're a go. We need you at this one location on Saturday at 4:00 or something like that. So I check in there. I have no idea what the show is. I have no idea who the star of the show is. And I still didn't even know after the show. I found out like everybody else did.
Jonathan is very trusting of this producer.
Yeah. And when you say trusting, I checked in at like what was an abandoned workout gym or something like that to get checked in, sign my NDAs and all that, take a picture. Then they put me in an unmarked van and drove me around Chicago for 10 minutes. And I mean, like I was at the corner of like Western and Lawrence, and we drive for 10 minutes in some weird route or whatever, and by the time we get to where we're going, I'm like, I know I'm only 2 blocks away from where we started. Why what is all the rigmarole here? Yeah. But they're super, super secretive, and we staged there for a while. So finally they're like, all right, listen, we need you and your wife, my wife Renee was with me, head on in. You want to say when you get there, table 9, you know. So Renee and I walk in, we're like, all right, table 9. And then sure enough, Chef Gordon Ramsay comes walking in, and he did a voiceover for that clip where he's talking about how he called on John Porter from Chicago Pizza Tours to help spread the word, even though they made me sign an NDA to not tell anybody about it. I could spread the word now.
Good.
But
plugged your business.
Yes, absolutely. Good. So he plugged the business. It couldn't have been nicer. Gave us what almost took me out is watching him on TV say, good to see you both, to me and my wife. And I'm like, like we summer in the Hamptons right now. And that, but it was great. And he did an incredible job at that restaurant. You know, obviously, you know, when you're going through Kitchen Nightmares or something, that's the name of the show, which I learned later. You're going through it. The restaurant is struggling for whatever reason. And Gordon installed some new systems, some new equipment, showed them how to do some things, and drastically changed the pizza.
So he really does...
Yeah,
put the work in to help the business.
Absolutely, and the food was incredible that night. And I'm sure they're keeping up with it. But it was they had this beautiful Folds oven, which is like it's part of Chicago pizza history. This carousel style oven. It's almost like a Ferris wheel on the inside with like 6 main decks. And they were only using one of those decks, and they were par baking the pizzas, which isn't necessarily terrible, but for what they were doing, it was unnecessary. So Gordon did fix the pizza. You know, there was a delay on our pizza. I mean, when we were eating there, it was probably a 2-hour meal.
The clip I saw, you looked a little concerned in the clip I saw. I'm like, wow, so is he acting or is he really?
There was some really good editing there.
Yeah.
And this is Borelli's, right?
Yeah, Borelli's.
Trying to read off
the
shirts in there in Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
It's funny when you said Lawrence and Western, I'm like, I used to live over there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know where that is.
That's just a couple blocks from that intersection. So, yes, it's Borelli's. Word is out, so it's them. And the pizza, it did take a while. So the dramatics of it were real. It was kind of funny. We were looking around, and they finally they fired. I believe Gordon Ramsay's line was, "Table 9 is now urgent." So,
that's amazing. You know, I follow him. He's doing some more projects and other stuff outside of like that world of TV, where he's actually doing like more just foodie type stuff, cooking. And it's great to watch. I mean, sometimes he just does cooking lessons in his own kitchen. But he kind of made his name not just as a chef, but as a celebrity, the guy screaming at people in the kitchen.
Right.
I'm sure there was a little bit of dramatics for the TV there, I think.
Always.
But it's cool to hear that he was that he was cool.
Yeah,
so,
couldn't have been nicer.
Speaking of dramatics, you did the annual tour with Pat Tomasulo from WGN TV and our old friend Jeff Morrow. So we got to hear a little bit about that from Pat on WGN TV. What was that like this time around?
Oh my gosh, the clip that Pat had on WGN cracked me up. I was dying when I saw that. But what a great group of guys. So this is now, I'm going to have to remember, maybe our fourth year doing it or so, I think, that we've done this. So Pat runs a charity. It's called Laugh Your Face Off for his wife who suffers from trigeminal neuralgia, and it's a big deal. There's no cure for it, so there's only treatments. So as part of the fundraiser, there's a lot of silent auction items, and one of them just happens to be a pizza tour with Jeff Morrow, myself, and then Pat. So I'm seeing it, but man, it's hard to get a word in with those two with those two guys every now and then. So yeah, but what a great group of guys, and we've had the same winners win it. I think I've done it 4 years now, and three of those 4 years, the same winners have done
That's
it.
Awesome.
So we've got this really good rapport, really casual. I make T-shirts with everybody's face on them. So this last one in particular, I probably should have brought one today just to show you guys, but it was the old NWA cover where they're all standing there in the lineup, and I replaced every one of their faces with pictures of us. And Jeff and I are big White Sox fans, so we had our White Sox hats on and all that. And then I list on the back, concert style, all the places we went to over the years and the dates that we went there and everything.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
Yeah, Pat's Laugh Your Face Off is amazing. I think they're over $5 million raised at this point, what Pat has done with.
And it keeps getting bigger.
Gets
like
bigger
last year was bigger than before.
And he's at Navy Pier now for his big show.
That's where it was,
because it keeps expanding. So that's very cool you're involved with that as well. Fall, some people are ready for fall. I'm ready. I'm still soaking in summer a little bit, even though it's been raining nonstop, it feels like, for a month. But if you look ahead to October, you've got some cool things planned as well, right, Jonathan?
Absolutely. I'm with you. I'm still clinging on to summer here for a little bit, but I got to start thinking about October and leaves hitting the ground, cooler temperatures, the talk of ghosts in the air. Every year we partner with American Ghost Walks, and we do sort of a spooky themed pizza tour and ghost tour. And it's great because it's a weird mix of people that kind of comes together. You know, when you check people in, who's there for the pizza, who's there for the ghosts. And then as it goes on, we both sort of merge, and you start to see ghost people get a little bit excited about great flavors, and you start to see people that are into food get a little bit excited about the ghosts and everything. And it does kind of come together. So I enjoy that immensely. And we typically run those. I know I've been talking my guy Tony over there, we're trying to figure out exactly what spots. I start out with ghost spots for him. I go, tell me what ghost spots you want, and I will figure out the pizzas that are nearby there that are special that we could talk
about. Are any of them the actual pizza spot where it all comes together? Like ghost stories within a pizza spot?
There haven't been any where we can tackle two at the same time. I think maybe at Exchequer, and I don't remember the ghost story there, but we know that Al Capone controlled that place for a while, so there's definitely people that have died on premises there. they maybe have some ghosts there. I think the staff, but most of the ghost stories over the years have been in places like the hotel, the Congress Hotel down on Michigan Avenue, and we've gone to that alley behind the Niederlander Theater and all that. So where hundreds of people died. I love that. That is one of my favorite things about it is my guy Tony from the Ghost Walks will talk about these just tragedies and terrible murders and everything, and then I got to bring it back.
Hey, so anyways, the tavern piece is just over this way.
Yes,
and
I told you about the oven here.
The corner.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Peanut Park. It's been here on Taylor Street. They got the, all that. So,
what's the is it locals? Is it people out of town mostly? Not just with the ghost tour, but like.
In general.
Yeah. Because it's as Mike said, it's perfect for, but if you're a tourist, I can't really think of a better tour. I mean, we have like our architecture tour and the river and all that, but like that's perfect.
We almost early on, we almost stopped marketing to tourists. That almost took care of itself. And then we sort of specifically targeted the locals because in that first 2 years or so, it was mainly locals that were taking the tour. And I think that's now kind of calmed down to about, it's still a large number, about 40% of our customers are people that are, local-ish. I mean, I'm going to say everywhere from Northwest Indiana to, Kenosha, maybe just a little bit over the border in Wisconsin. We get a lot of people just in this Chicagoland area. They just want to go out and take a pizza. And what I love about that too is they'll always take a minute to sort of pull me aside at one of the restaurants and be like, hey, you ever been to Bill's Pub in Mundelein? Like, and it's like, I get to learn about all the places that are really special to them.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I have been to some of them. So yeah.
And Bill's in Mundelein is very good.
It's
too.
Got the double decker. Is it yes. the, it's yeah. the original double decker.
I believe it is. Yeah. It's also got taxidermied squirrels drinking old style cans and peanuts all over the floor.
Yeah, that's right. I grew up going to the spinoff, which was JJ Twiggs. And it is a whole Bill's empire up north. Like, I think it's a nephew opened Nick's.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then you
yeah.
had
that's
Jake's that
common.
Used to be.
Yes.
And then there was JJ Twiggs that you have a couple. It's a whole thing. That's another episode, though.
yes,
but are there other new places that you've learned about recently that you...
I think when we last spoke, we talked about how basically tavern style, thin crust Chicago tavern style pizza, is going through sort of a bit of a renaissance here post-pandemic. I think going into it, a lot of people were doing a lot of artisan pizza, whether it be wood-fired or gas-fired brick oven. But we're seeing a lot of places that are stepping up their game with their tavern-style pizza. So I know we talked about Zarella last time, Iceman's favorite pizza. I love plugging that place, last stop on the tour. But you got other places like Pizza Michi on Grand Avenue, who they've enjoyed a lot of buzz for the last year or so and when they first opened two years
love
or so.
They line up for the it. The sister for sure. restaurant yeah. of Kim's Uncle, where
right.
you'll see a Folds oven when you walk in. It's
yeah.
basically the oven, the person you order from, and a table on the side.
And if you go back even a little bit further, it goes back to like it was a company called the Pizza Fried Chicken
yeah,
Ice
by,
Cream.
By Sox
pizza,
Park,
yep, that's
right.
Which was stemmed from like Meet Me in the Alley for Eat Free Pizza. It's all yeah. sort of like, you know, just keeps going. And you got other places like so on that tour with Pat and Jeff and the guys, we started at Pequod's. Classic, right? You know, mm-hmm. and they knocked it out of the park. But another one of the newer thin crust places, we went to Dimi in Lincoln Park.
And I see everybody posting about that spot too.
I don't know how they're getting in there. It's tough to get a reservation. It's not exactly big, but right. like, you know, I had to drop Pat's name.
For charity.
Yeah.
Come on.
But some of the thinnest pizza I've ever seen. One of the things that they've mastered there is that they still have the chew of like a thicker tavern style pizza.
Interesting.
While being ultra crispy too. So it does really stick out to me.
They're, you know, with the tavern style, the thin crust, I'm not one of those people that's like that endless search for the crackers ultra thin. I don't, because that's not like how I ate it. It to your point, it would like maybe had a thin crisp on the bottom, but also doughy at the same time. Some people love the ultra crisp, and that's not me. But
I prefer
just a little bit of the dough, a little bit of bite on the bottom. But people seem to love the super ultra crispy thin crust.
I'm totally with you on this. And I think oftentimes a lot of people will sort of misremember pizzas from their youth and be like, just like when I grew up. I'm like, they were never that crispy.
No, it was always a little
yeah.
doughy.
Yes,
maybe
you always had a little chew.
Sometimes it had a little more crisp than other times. And I like it every once in a while too, but it seems that people are all into the cracker crust thin these
yeah,
days.
It is the rage. And I think that's one of the things that makes Dimi stand out a little bit too, is that they do capture some of that chew as well. I will say for tavern style also, there's a place called Dee Dee's in River North. It's just a guy sort of making pizzas. You put your order in, pick them up, you
nice.
Know, and all that. No space. Novel Pizza in Pilsen. I think I had a girl on the tour not too long ago, and she was like, you ever go to Pilsen for pizza? And I'm like, oh, yeah, one of my favorites is their Novel. She's like, I've been gatekeeping that place. I don't want too many people to find out about it. So they do a really good thin crust there too. And then in keeping with some of the newer ones too, Labriola Italian in the mm-hmm. Fulton Market, we ended up there, which incredible cannoli on top of that too. But their artisan pizza was really good. And then what better place to end that tour with Pat and Jeff, a couple of Italians there, than on Taylor Street at Peanut Park there. Sort of like home base for us. We seem to, even if we're not having it on the tour that day, it seems to be the after party that we'll go there for maybe a couple of Negronis or so. And it was cool that on that particular night that we were there, Mike Starr was at the table next to us. Many people know him from Goodfellas mm-hmm. or Dumb and Dumber or The Office and all that. He was just, and I mean, what was crazy to me is we're sitting there having a good time at our table and he's telling stories at his table and I'm hearing the guy from Goodfellas talk. It doesn't sound any different than he did, I don't know, what is that, 40 some years old now at this point. So it was kind of cool to see him there. there. I was there this morning, so some of the pizzas I brought were from Peanut Park as well, and they've got the Festa Italiano coming up this weekend, so I'll probably be there at least Friday, maybe Saturday as well.
But I love your shirt too. It says Chicago's finest architecture, and in the middle it's a deep dish pizza, which I think is, that's perfect right there,
with a little bit of cheese pull.
Congratulations on all the success, Jonathan Porter, Chicago Pizza Tours, chicagopizzatours.com. Follow them on Instagram. You're a TV star now, as well as a business owner and tour guide. Congrats, man, and thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is amazing.
That's Jonathan Porter, Chicago Pizza Tours. Go check him out. For Mike Piff, I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening to the Chicago's Very Own Eats podcast, sponsored by the Puckered Pickle Company.
Nailed it.
Do you want to give it one run, too?
The Puckered Pickle Company. And I think we ought to tease that coming soon. We're going to find out what our tournament in September is going to be.
You told me what it is, and I can't even remember.
Should we tease it or should we tell people? Because we're going to do it. So let's just say that we haven't done it before.
Oh.
We haven't done it before. I might as well just say what it's going to be.
Sure.
And so people can send us some recommendations. Delis.
Oh.
We haven't done delis before. And
this is going to be, okay, this is a good one. People are passionate about it. If you have a local deli, people are going to be all about supporting their local deli.
And I think this time,
like sandwich shops is what
sandwich
you're talking
shops.
About.
Okay. Yeah, sandwich shops. And I think rather than break it out into the regions, because I just want to be able to fit as many in this as possible, we're just going to mix it all up, basically.
Okay.
So
Mike put together, Jonathan, a 128 bracket pizza tournament.
I remember.
And Mike still got emails saying, yeah, you left this place off. It's like, you can only fit in so many pizza spots. I like this. Delis. Do you have a favorite deli?
I will take it one step further on that pizza bracket.
Okay.
Not only did they probably give you business about it, they would send it to me and be like, what do you think of this? Can you believe it? This is it? I'm like, guys, this is all... Like,
we're spoiled here. We have a lot of
pizza
spots.
We literally doubled it to try to like fit more people
in it. I know,
right?
Like, it's like, yeah. No, as far as sandwiches go, a couple places I really like. Frankie's Deli in Oak Brook Terrace. I grew up on Frankie's Deli out of Lombard. Was where they were at back in the day. So they were great. A lot of home meals from there. And then my son actually works there right now. My wife and I always tell him, this place is historic. You need to realize how special this job is. Alpine Sub Shop in Elmwood Park. He's in the back chopping lettuce, washing lettuce, cleaning the floors, prepping, cutting tomatoes and stuff. But it's one of my favorites. It's Johnny's Beef right there, too. I mean, that's a whole different category. That's
right.
Italian.
Right. They had their own tournament.
So does this have to be... Like, do I have to be able to go and order a half a pound of bologna, or can it just go be a sandwich shop?
No, it needs to be a sandwich shop. So do we need to, like, clarify sandwich shops?
I would say sandwich shop.
Just say sandwich
shop.
Because
deli is like, I envision going up to the glass counter, and you can get some meat and also order a sandwich.
So this could be a combo of the two.
Jonathan,
where you,
be our advisor.
Yeah, I like it. So I think sandwich shop should be good enough. However, extra special if you get in one of those weird lines where you're not quite up to the register yet, and they start
like
yelling at you, what do you want? And you're like, well, I can't see because I'm not there yet.
Right, or you're like kind of in a grocery store, but you're not, and it's also a deli, and you're just like standing in an aisle waiting to order your food.
It's like my friends at Volo Quality Meats.
I think if you're known for being a sandwich shop.
For sandwiches, right.
Okay.
So like,
so
I would
sandwiches? Sandwich shops?
See, I don't want to make it so that the Italian beef places want to like jump into this.
It's where you go get a sub.
Yeah, I think it's its own category. It's
sandwich
the beef,
shop.
Even though that is a sandwich, but yeah.
Right.
Freddy's in Cicero is something I'm thinking about too when it comes to walking up to that case and being like being yelled at about what you need
or
to order.
Or like Manny's or something like that too, where that's...
Oh, classic, yeah.
See this is going to be a lot of fun.
When Manny's, okay. I think of like Tony's in Edison Park. That's one where it's... and then obviously on Grand, we've got... D'Amato's and Bari
and
all that.
JP Graziano.
We could just start saying sandwich shop for the next hour.
I would do that. I would do that as a podcast.
Right, we'll
name a place.
Workshop it, but just start thinking like delis and sandwich shops, and we'll put a bracket together that's coming in September. So we'll get to that. We'll talk a little more about that, Mike. But that's right around the corner. Our next bracket. Those always get a lot of traffic. Mike does a great job with those.
Yeah.
Jonathan Porter, Chicago Pizza Tours. Thanks again, my friend. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks, guys.
For Mike Piff, I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening. This was the latest episode of Chicago's Very Own Eats.